Today, we wanted to talk about the four ETFs that you need to hold for life. So Wall Street tends to have a really bad habit overcomplicating things, and it doesn't really need to be this way. You want to keep your ETFs and your core positions in your portfolio to be low cost, diversified, and very tax efficient.
To start with, as you mentioned, you want to have this big core position. For most people, that will be something that tracks the S&P 500. We really like an ETF from iShares, and it's called IVV. And this is a huge ETF. It's really low cost, does a great job of tracking.
One, right?
Biggest one that we've seen, over 400 billion. And all the top ETFs are all tracking the S&P 500. It's a really popular holding because it's done so well historically.
We like IVV given its position size and the fact that it is so large and liquid, and it's very, very cheap as well.
It's only 3 basis points, which a basis point just means a percentage, basically. Yeah. So 0.03%. So for every $10,000 you invest, it only costs you $3.
Pretty good
deal. This is great. This is going to track the S&P 500. When holdings leave the S&P 500 or enter, it will automatically rebalance for you.
Yeah.
It's had a great performance. Not the only reason you want to invest in a fund, but it's important to know that it's tracking the index appropriately.
Hey, you know, if I only had one position that I can own, it should be the S&P 500.
Yeah,
it's arguably the most important, the most liquid, and obviously the most well-known market out there. These are going to be the 500 largest companies in the United States, ranked by the size, the market cap of them. It's very efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rebalances every quarter, and it's very well done.
Yeah, and you're going to see all the names that you know and recognize, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, NVIDIA, et cetera. Over the past 10 years, it's averaged 12.2%. Historically, when you look back around 100 years of data they have, it's just over 10%.
Yeah.
Right now, it pays a dividend of 1.58%. And again, it's that really low 3 basis points expense ratio.
So next up on the list, we wanted to talk about international markets. And the one that we like is IEFA. IEFA is another iShares fund.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a really good job of is tracking the international developed market outside of the US and Canada.
Yeah.
So it'll give you exposure to Europe, Australia, Asia as well.
And this will hold companies of all different sizes. So the S&P 500 is all large cap companies.
Yeah.
This index will be owning small companies, mid, large. The majority is, of course, large.
Yeah.
But you're getting exposure to basically all of the companies. And it's such a big thing to have international diversification. Most people have what's called home country bias. They like to invest in their home country. That can make sense when you're in America. But oddly enough, every country does this. You know, you've got stats showing Argentinians invest 98% of their wealth in the Argentinian markets.
And I mean, they invest in what they know, which makes sense. But again, you got to realize that that is a bias.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get a lot of pushback. Like right now, whenever we talk to our clients about getting international exposure, a lot of that pushback is, well, international hasn't done very well, so why do I want to invest in it? And that's a very good point.
It's a valid point.
It's also important to note that the U.S. will not always continue to outperform.
Yeah.
You know, there are going to be periods, just like as there have been in the past, where the U.S. actually underperforms international markets. So do we know that we're actually going to be entering in a period like that? We don't know.
Yeah.
But it's certainly smart to hedge your bets.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's recency bias, where we just look at what happened in our past life and extrapolate that's going to happen moving forward. The S&P 500 has done great, international not as well. So that's why people just don't want to invest internationally. But as you said, it almost flip-flops every decade or so. International outperforms U.S. and so on. So it really helps your portfolio improve what's called risk-adjusted returns to have some exposure to international companies.
IEFA is the one that we like. Its current expense ratio is 7 basis points, so 0.07%. Meaning you invest $10,000, it's going to be $7 every year.
We're going to talk a little bit different. So not everybody's going to be 100% in stocks, right? But a lot of people want to have some sort of bond exposure to smooth out this investment experience, create a little bit of a different stream of income. For that, we really like the ETF SPAB.
Mm-hmm. So SPAB is going to be tracking just the broad investable bond market. We like this one for a number of different reasons. One is given the size of this actual position. So SPAB has about $7 billion, and its expense ratio is very cheap at 0.03% and a very low turnover rate as well.
Yeah.
But the beauty of this is you want to have a nice core bond position in your portfolio if you don't want that normal volatility of a stock market. You're entering retirement or you're withdrawing from your portfolio, or if you just can't withstand the normal volatility of the stock market, bonds are going to help smooth out that ride over time.
Yeah.
And so, but you do get paid on it. So it's not like holding cash. Cash will obviously smooth that out as well. but you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck by holding bonds.
Yeah, this yield right now is just about 4.12%. So that's going to be paying you in terms of interest. So it's mm-hmm. different than how dividend yields work. And it's important to know that this is basically like owning the U.S. bond market. It's taking the same principle yeah. of the ETFs we mentioned for stocks and just saying, I'm going to own the entire bond market. I'm not going to try to pick which bonds are best. So the majority of this, over 40%, is in treasuries. And then you have investment-grade corporate bonds, mortgage-backed securities, yep. so all high-quality bonds that it's investing in.
So last but not least, for those who want a little bit more spice in their life.
Spice, yeah. I want spice.
So the previous three were going to be those core holdings, which are index funds. This one's not an index fund. It's actively managed. But it is something that we believe that you should own for life if you have the stomach for it.
Yeah.
So this one is AVUFI, which is a newer ETF by Avanta. If you look back and you were trying to look at what actually outperforms over time, and there's a lot of empirical study that supports this, mm-hmm. it is smaller and more value companies tend to outperform over time.
Yeah.
And there's been many different attempts and many different styles of this. But we really like AVUFI for a number of host of reasons. And the biggest is just the philosophy of how it actually creates this index fund.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's more actively managed, but not in the sense of people when they think about active management. It's not somebody that's just sitting there, you know, brainstorming, going off of their gut, what company do I think is going to outperform?
No,
this is using academic and empirical financial science and data to screen out companies. So it starts with the Russell 2000 Value Index, which is 2000 really small companies. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to screen them for a couple of really important factors. It's going to look for the cheapness of them.
Yep.
So, hey, what am I actually paying versus what is the book value of this company? And then it's going to look at the highest profitability companies. And it's going to combine those to find the cheapest companies and the most profitable companies. And that's what it's going to invest in. So right now it holds about 700 positions. It's a lot. It tries to not go over 1% in any position. Mm-hmm. And again, it's going off of this philosophy that prices share a lot of information. The market's very efficient. But when the price you pay really matters over the long term. And again, it's looking at the best performing asset class in the stock market long term is small cap companies that are trading at a cheaper price compared to their value.
Usually whenever a company is trading at a cheaper price, the market is signaling that something is wrong with this company. There's some type of risk why this company is so cheap. But theoretically, these companies, not all these companies, are going to be priced this low forever. Some companies are going to have higher earnings growth. Mm-hmm. And so this company does an excellent job, in my opinion, of identifying those companies.
Yeah. And that's why you diversify, right? Because when you do start going and you buy smaller companies, that's inherently a risk. We all know what would happen if, say, there's a tax law or something happens that can impact Apple or, let's say, a huge restaurant. Mm-hmm. Compare that to some small local restaurant or some small local tech company. They don't have the cash like Apple has, hundreds of billions of dollars. Right. Yeah. So they're naturally a safer company. So that's a risk that someone is taking. And I think with funds like these, that's something to be aware of, right? You want to take it as a long-term position. Yes, it's historically been the best performing asset is small cap, cheap companies that are profitable. Mm-hmm. But you need to realize that there's what's called tracking error. It's not just sticking to an exact index with every single trade. It's making small deviations. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to times where things underperform. And what you see is that oftentimes people get into that active mindset where they're jumping in and out of ETFs all the time, trying to find and chase the hot one at that time.
Yeah, and it's no big secret that small value has been underperforming for 10 years. It's been a really long time. You don't know that it's actually going to be continued to underperform until it's after the fact. But even if you account for that decade of underperformance, it still outperformed the S&P 500 over this lifetime. There's a lot of studies that say that, hey, whenever we enter into periods of higher inflation where capital is not so cheap and rates are not so cheap, that small cap value actually does outperform. Question is, are we entering into another period of higher than average inflation?
Yeah. And you look again at that last decade we mentioned, international diversification. These are all different risks. Investing in the stock market is a risk. Investing in cheaper companies is a risk. Mm-hmm. Investing in smaller companies is a risk. And they all play out a little bit differently. So when you combine them in a portfolio, they really work well together. And you see that from 2000 to 2010, when the S&P 500 was negative, that lost decade it's called. Small cap value companies had a phenomenal decade and crushed the S&P 500.
That's because large growth had such an epic rise during the late 90s and with the tech bubble.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
We're kind of entering that same period. Like right now, if you look at the S&P 500, the PE ratio is 20. 20 yeah. times earnings, whereas AVUV is only 6.5. So it's much cheaper.
Yeah. So that basically means I, as an investor, am spending $20 to get $1 of earnings from the S&P 500. Correct. Whereas yeah. if I invest in AVUV, I'm spending $6 and I get $1 of earnings.
Correct.
It's yeah, pretty wild.
Expense ratio of only 25 basis points.
Yeah. And AVUV is a newer ETF. It launched in the fall of 2019, but all came from people that ran previous funds and is based off of decades of research and Nobel Prizes. DFA. I mean, this yeah. is solid research they've done. But if you compare it to IVV since it started, AVUV's done 56% total return since the fall of 2019 compared to IVV's 53%. Yeah. Who knows what the next few years will hold, but it's a good ETF for you to look at if, again, you do want to try to really have an optimal portfolio.
All right. So there you have it. Those are your four best ETFs to own forever. Again, you're going to be owning IVV, SPAB, AVUV, and IEFA. Very diverse investment opportunities covering yeah. the U.S. large cap, small cap, international, and the bond markets. Thanks for watching. Again, my name is Ryan, this is Peter, and we run a financial advisory firm called Bull Oak Capital. If you want to learn more about how we help our clients achieve true financial independence, be sure to check out bulloakcapital.com.